Greetings and welcome to the first of two short podcasts on Parashat Vayishlach. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom, and a wonderful Erev Shabbat to everyone. Parashat Vayishlach begins with a scene of Yaakov preparing to meet Esav. He does not know that Esav evidently has reached a point of rapprochement and that he is ready to meet Yaakov and to embrace him and to welcome him. And Yaakov, out of fear, when he hears that Esav is coming with 400 men, takes several steps. The first step that he seems to take is appeasement, and he puts together a gift, and he sends the gift to Esav, perhaps even ceding his the brachot and the superior position that he had earlier attained. And at some point there, he also turns to God in tefillah. And he says in Pasuk Tet, Shem Elokei Avraham Elohei Yitzchak, Shem Omer Elai Shuli Atzachal Motachal Tei Vimach. Right, so he presents him and said, God, you're the one who told me to go back. Katonti Mikol HaChasadim Mikol HaMet, Asher Asita Et Avdecha. Kiv Makli Avarti Et HaYoden Hazeh, Ve'ata Hayiti Lishnei Machanot. Katonti Mikol HaChasadim Mikol HaMet is the phrase that I'd like to take a look at. Literally translated was not going to help us. We can't literally translate it because therein lies the rub. Katonti may mean I have become diminished. I am small. Unclear. Mikol hachasadim mikol haemet has something to do with all of the kindness that God has done, as it's explicated later, that when I crossed through this river going east and going north, I had was a stick with me, and now I have two full camps. God has done great kindness, and this is what Yaakov says, Katonti. Now, what does it mean? So before investigating what it means, I'd like to point out that in most of our common chumashim, the cantillation mark, the trope mark, which is associated with the word katonti, and which defines the word katonti, is a mark that we call a geresh. That's like an apostrophe going backwards above the tet, katonti, mikol hachasadim. And it would be read, at least in the Ashkenazi custom, as follows. Katonti, and then mikol hachasadim, mikol haemet. And this follows, indeed, the codex that we refer to as the Aleppo Codex, or the Crown of Aleppo, the Keter Aram Tzova, which generally is understood to be the most accurate codex of the Tanakh. And indeed, that's the way that it appears, although we do not have that pasuk in front of us. It's well known to students of the history of the codex. The first part of the codex and the last part of the codex is not accessible to us. Whether it exists in the world at all is subject to quite a bit of speculation and mystery. But the all of Bereshit Shmot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and most of Dvarim is inaccessible to us. However, from many reports that we got through the centuries of the way that the text was written in Aleppo and in the recently published Keter Yerushalayim that was done based on the Codex and in Breuer's Tanakh, we have there the Geresh, which is printed in most of our Chumashim. However, in the Leningrad Codex, which is, in a sense, the most popular one, and the one that the Korain Publishing House uses, the word katonti is marked by a trope mark called a rivia, which is a diamond, a small little diamond over the tet, and is read as follows. Katonti. Most Bali Kriya, at least the ones that I'm familiar with, read it with a geresh. Sometimes those who want to show that they have a little extra sophistication will read it with a rivia. Question is, which is the correct one? And there's no real way to determine it. However, the difference in how it's read, which seems to be very arcane and trivial, may actually come down to something far larger and far greater in our understanding of the text. Rashi, in his comments on Katonti Mikol HaChasadim, makes the following observation. He says, Nitma'atu zechuyotai. He reads katonti as a verb and says, I have become small. It's a passive verb. I have become small as a result of all the kindness that you have done. And this is taken from the Midrash, but this is an approach that Rashi appropriates several times along the lines of the notion that when someone has a kindness done for them by Hashem, someone has a bracha or a salvation of some sort given to them by Hashem, that perhaps threatens their reward in the world to come. So Rashi says, "Nitmatu zechuyotai al derech chasadim v'amet shasitaimi." Lachen ani yarei. In other words, Rashi says, Yaakov is afraid because he feels that as a result of all the greatness God has given him, his zechut is lower. And the reason Rashi says that is in the next line, because Yaakov's fear is a very problematic thing. God, after all, promised him in the famous vision in Beit El that he would protect him and he would bring him back to the land. So why does Yaakov even have the right to be afraid? He should be walking straight up to Esav, no fear, no appeasement, no prayer, no dividing the camp, and greet him knowing that God is going to protect him. So Rashi answers this by saying that Shema Mishiv Tiftachtani Lachtachti Bechet. Perhaps after you made the promise, I have become, shall we say, a sinner. V'gromli lehim aser b'yad Esav. So Rashi says really two different things that complement each other. The first is that perhaps because of all the kindness that you gave me in Haran, suddenly becoming wealthy and every year blessing my flock, etc., as we spoke about last week, as a result of that, my zchuyot are lower, and now I don't have the protection. The second piece of it is that perhaps I don't merit being saved, because since you made that promise, maybe I'm no longer the same man and no longer deserving. But it's the first point that I want to look at. Katonti mikol achasadim mikol haemet means that Rashi is reading not only the word katonti in a particular way, but he's looking at the prefix mem in the word mikol as having a particular connotation. And let me clarify. The prefix mem in Hebrew serves one of at least three different purposes. And for our purposes, we'll call them locative, causative, and relational. Locative is the familiar one, which is from. Ani mi Yerushalayim. I am from Yerushalayim. Hu lakach et hasefer meh hasifriyah. He took the book from the library. All right? And mem means a location. There is another mem, which is causative. Ani ayef mirov avodah. I'm tired from lots of work as a result of, we'll call it causative mem, in which the antecedent to the word, that which comes before the mem, is describing a status, and after the mem is the cause for that status. I'm tired because of work. I am satiated from too much food, etc. And then there's a third kind of mem, which is a relational mem, milat hayachas, or a mem hahashva'a, in which things are being compared. Classically, throughout the seventh chapter of Kohelet, tov shem mi shemen tov, v'yom hamavet mi yom hivaldo. A good name is better than may. Good oil, the day of death is better than me, Yom Hivaldo, the day of birth, etc. And all through that parak, that is the theme that goes on. But that's not unique to Kohelet. It is found throughout Tanakh, and indeed throughout Hebrew literature, the mem as a comparative mem. Question is, how do we read Mikol HaChasadim? So one way to read Mikol HaChasadim is the way that Rashi reads it, which if you think about it, is causative. Katonti mikol achasadim means I have become small or diminished as a result of, as if to say, ani ayef mirov avodah, ani savea mirov ochel, I am satiated from all of the food, I am diminished as a result of all of the kindness. That's the way Rashi reads it. On the other hand, Ramban and most of the Rishonim disagree with Rashi, states that katonti means as follows. V'marki katon hu mihi yoto ra'ui l'chol ha'chasadim sha'asa imo. After Ramban quotes Rashi and then he challenges him, he gives his own interpretation. He says, katonti means katon hu mihi yoto ra'ui l'chol ha'chasadim sha'asa imo. I am not worthy. I am too small to get all of the greatness that you've given me. Meaning, and they bring several examples of that use of the idea of being katon, being not worthy, being too small for something. And the way he's reading is katonti mikol hachasadim. It's mem hahashva'a. It's a mem which is comparative mem. I am too small for all of the kindness that you've given me. In other words, All of the great things that you've given me, I'm not worthy of. I crossed with a stick and you gave me two camps. And nonetheless, I'm asking you to save me from Esav, even though I may not be worthy. And this is a typical style of a proper humility in tefillah. Okay. Now, we have two different ways then of understanding what katonti mikol hasadim, and essentially what Yaakov is saying. Is Yaakov saying, if I were standing the day after Beit El, I would say, good, you made a promise, and that's it. But since, in the meantime, you've given me all of this kindness and all of this blessing, which may have diminished my reward and my protection and my merit with you, therefore, katonti mikol hasadim, now I'm going to rely on your compassion because I may not have the merit. That's Rashi. Ramban says that what Yaakov is saying is a static statement that would be true the day after Beit El or 20 years later as we are now, which is, I am not worthy of all the kindness that you've given me. And it's a statement of personal humility, not of a concern of diminution of status. All right, so much for the Ramban and for Rashi. And back to the codices. The trump marks that we have, little marks that we use, and I've spoken about this in earlier podcasts, are markings which were created in the 6th to 9th centuries by the Masoretes, the Baalei HaMesorah, some of them in Tveria, and that's the style that we use, some of them in Bavel. There were several schools in Bavel. We use the Nikuda Tavrani and the Tamei HaMikra of Tveria. And these particular markings were based on a tradition of how to read the text, and more critically, a tradition of how to punctuate the text, how to parse the phrasing in the text, and how to stress the particular words. Because the trope marks are not chiefly there for cantillation, they're chiefly there for punctuation of a verse, and for stress in a particular word. So for instance, in our verse, I know to read it katonti, and not katonti, which, although such a word doesn't exist, might mean I will become small. I know to read it that way because the trope mark is over the tet and not over the tav and yod at the end. So the trope mark is also placed generally, lots of exceptions to this, is placed generally over or under the syllable that is being stressed. But the chief purpose of the cantillation marks of Tamei HaMikra is to help us punctuate the verse. And of course, before the marks were created, approximately 1300 years ago, there were no markings used. The rabbis in the Gemara never referred to any such markings, but they do refer to ways of reading the Torah, and perhaps even some doubt in some certain cases, the famous sugya of Mikroche and the Mechrea, of where to pause. And of course, where you pause makes a huge difference as far as the meaning of the text. Famously in the ad, room for rent by woman 4 foot square. If you don't punctuate it, you don't know if the room is 4 foot square or the woman is. Such is true throughout the Torah, and that is why, indeed, according to the halakha, if someone is reading the Torah and they make a mistake in the punctuation of the text and the parsing of the verse such that it affects the meaning of the verse, then they really do have to go back and read it properly, because even though they read all the words right, the syntax and the collection of the words together and the way that they're broken up is changed by the punctuation. All of the trope marks that we have, which are consistent throughout 21 of the 24 books of the Tanakh, only Eov, and that's most of Eov, all of Mishlei and all of Tehillim, Emet, those three books have a different system called Tamei Emet. But the other 21 books of the Tanakh, all of Chumash, all of Nevi'im, all of the Megillot, and the rest of Ketuvim, all use the same system, which is known as Ta'amei Chaf Aleph Sfarim, the trope marks for the 21 books. All of these marks are broken into two categories. One category is called Mishartim, or servers, and the other category is called Mafsikim, or stoppers. To wit, a word that is marked, and every word in Tanakh is marked with one trope mark. There are several exceptions where there's double troping on a word, but almost always, it's 99 point something percent of the words in Tanakh have one trope mark. There is no word without a trope mark. And every word is either connected to the word afterwards, or has some sort of a pause, a large pause, a really large pause, a small pause, or an infinitesimal pause. And that's marked with a stopper instead of a starter. So now, for instance, famously, for people who have gone through our mitzvah training, mercha, tibcha, munacha, nachta, mercha is a server, and mercha is usually followed by a tibcha, which is a stopper. So mercha, tibcha, pause, munach et nachta, big pause. And the pauses, the mafsikim, which are really the only thing that you need to be concerned about in order to properly phrase a text, the mafsikim are graded into four levels of punctuation. The Rishonim used several systems to define them. One that we use, it's Breuer system, refers to the greatest level of stoppers as kesarim, Caesars, that cover half a pasuk. In other words, the end of a pasuk is covered by the sof pasuk, the siluk, that single line going down. If you look at our pasuk, after the word machanot, under the word, under the vav, there's a line, machanot, under the nun. That is the sof pasuk, that indicates the end of the verse. Halfway through, under the word avdecha, you'll see a little wishbone. That's the etnachta, and that is the stopper for the first half of the verse. So we have two halves of the verse. Then there are next level, which are called melachim, or kings. And there are three melachim. There's a tipcha, which we already mentioned, which it looks like backwards apostrophe underneath, like a backwards comma, really, underneath the letter. There is a zakef, which is two dots vertically above the word, either with or without a line next to them. And there is a segol, which is three dots above the word, forming a triangle. Those are the melachim. Afterwards, there are mishnim, second level, which were the third level stoppers. Included among the mishnim is the riviyah, that little diamond-shaped thing, which goes da-da-da-da, and it's four notes, at least the way the Ashkenazim read it, and that is a riviyah. A much, much smaller stopper, which is the lowest level of stoppers, includes the pazer, includes the shagdala, and it also includes the geresh, that hook going up, sort of a tipcha on top of the word, which goes, which is read, nai, nai. That is a much less of a stopper. Now you wonder, what does all this have to do with Yaakov's tefillah? It has perhaps a lot to do with it. If we read the word katonti, the way that it's written in most chumashim based on the Aleppo Codex, then what we have is a word that barely stops and moves straight to the next phrase. And I'm going to read it without singing it. Katonti mikol hachasadim mikol haemet. On the other hand, if we read it the way that it's written in the Leningrad Codex and the Koran Tanakh with the Riviyah, then we have to make a stop. Katonti, mikol hachasadim, mikol haemet. Question is there any difference in meaning whether make a greater or lesser stop on the word katonti? And the answer is there very well may be. It's possible that if we say that katonti is really directly connected with the next word, there's barely a stop, then it's reasonable to interpret the mem as causative. Katonti mikol hachasadim. I have become diminished as a result of all the kindness. The mem there is very much associated with the katonti because the katonti doesn't sit alone. Katonti is, I've become diminished. Why have you become diminished? Because of all this kindness. If, on the other hand, katonti stands alone, then it's a statement of identity. Katonti, I am too small. It's not a verb. I am too small. Too small for what? Kol hachasadim kol haemet. So it's indeed possible that the approach taken by most of the Rishonim, which is that katonti is not a verb, but katonti rather is a statement of self, and the mem of mikol hachasadim is mem ha-hashva'ah, comparative mem, saying I am too small, I'm not worthy of all the kindness, follow the reading with the riviyah. If, on the other hand, we follow Rashi's interpretation that katonti means I have become diminished as a result of, then we have to connect it to the next word and indeed would read it with a geresh, katonti mikol hachasadim, and indeed that would mean that I've become diminished as a result and read the mem as a causative mem. Several, not arcane things, one very technical issue of grammar, which is the different uses of a mem, which we have to be sensitive to. One, as a second, as a general primer into the world of Tamei HaMikra and its application here. And third, a very large issue, which is how we view Yaakov's tefillah and why he said what he did in his tefillah. Was it as a result of events that had happened to him and he felt lessened by them? Or was it as a result of his natural humility in standing before God and asking for salvation? But indeed, the arcane and the seemingly trivial may hold the key to understanding the very large and the very profound. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.